going to have a good time tonight as well, continuing, desiring to minister to the Hispanic community, but everyone's invited. We will translate tonight as well, but Brother Junior asked to share, and he is one of our Church of Living Hope fruits that came to Hope on the Street, came on over here and gave his life to the Lord and has continued to follow the Lord. Now his sister was baptized a few Sundays ago, and we're just blessed to see what the Lord is doing. Well, happy new year, I guess, but happiness is a choice, and happiness is based on what's happening, and so I hope it's a holy new year. We have out on our marquee out there that says something like, let the new year be a new beginning. Well, people make these New Year's resolutions and usually don't keep them, but it's good to know that God has put seasons in our lives. He's put seasons of weather. Can you believe that last Sunday we were at this door watching a tornado come across the church, and floods were coming in, and we had to stop people from going to Lindale because they said there's a tornado in Lindale. And so then about that time we saw one coming here. And today, it's beautiful, sunshine outside. I came up, there was Isaac was out there playing football, and with the guys here, right in the beautiful sunshine. Later on, I saw Jody and Trey playing with some kind of toy that they got for Christmas out there, and so it's a new season when we realize that weather itself changes things. But also, you know, we're in different seasons of life. Some of you had birthdays last year. Is that right? Anybody have a birthday this year yet? How many's going to have a birthday in January? Look at this. Happy birthday to you all. It's coming. It's coming close. It's another season of your life. And we continue to have birthdays. I usually write something on the happy birthday on Facebook that says, if you keep having them, you'll live longer. And maybe that's a little encouragement that birthdays are all that bad as well. But we enter into this season, and it's a time for us to look back and look forward and to say, Lord, I want to serve you better. There's a song that says, more love, more power, more of you in my life. And so God is interested in the more. I believe he's interested in more people because he loves the people. I was just thinking about the marquee out there and all the hundreds of people that pass that every day. And we want to just say to them, think about it. Are you going to do something different this year? Is it the same old that ends you up in disaster and destruction and jail and prison? And we are able to see God moving in a special way in people's lives. I had an interesting experience this past week. I got to the office and began to open up my computer, and I got a call from the jail coordinator and said Lieutenant Archer needs a pastor. He needs a chaplain up here at the low-risk unit. Well, that's right down the street here. And what had happened was that morning an inmate had literally gone into a coma, a stroke, something of that type. And by the time they got him to the ambulance, he had passed away. And the four men that helped him, when he the last words he said was, "You got me," and they said, "We got you." And so those men, having there been a death in the chambers back there, they call it the dungeon, but I was trying to be nice, and they were investigated by the Texas Rangers because they had been there right with him, and they were shook up. And I just thank God for men that are in right places that believe that there's help from the Lord. And Lieutenant Archer said, these men are shook up. They need a chaplain. They need someone to talk to them. So I was able to call them out one at a time and talk with them and pray with them and be able to comfort them and get them back into their dreaded cell with a little hope that was there. And that was the way I started the year. And so we recognize that God has us here for a strategic reason right here in this area. I was there yesterday with Charlotte at the intersection. I said, God, thank you for putting us at the four corners. You know, that's kind of a derogatory term, because that stands for all the prostitution and pimping and all those things that are going on. But God put us here, right here, right here, to be the light in a dark place and serve a great purpose, to be the salt of the earth, penetrating that culture that is there that David was talking about this morning, to say there can be difference. And I want you to just do something for me this morning, because I didn't get a lot of sleep last night and I need some encouragement. I want you to shout, there is hope. Oh, yes, I've got it. Okay, I can go ahead and preach now. That's great. It is a time where we will face different challenges that we weren't planning on. I was thinking about Jason and Carla. This time last year, they had no idea even that they'd be moving to Dallas. They had no idea that she would be even already probably had that growing cancer in her body, and they were just going on as usual. So we don't know what we're going to face this year, and I hope that those words don't irritate you, but there's also the hope that we're talking about. There's going to be concerns, and even we call it worry. Spanish is preocupación, preoccupation, that there's going to be those things, but as well there's going to be great opportunities that we have to serve the Lord and to be at the right place at the right time and have the right results. When I was blessed that I was just waiting, like a plane waiting to take off, when that call came in that they needed Chaplain Hope. That they needed Chaplain Hope down there at that jail, and I was able to be there within. I said, I'm on my way. And you know, just to see that there's great opportunities that are going to come to us, and they're there every day. We've got a ladies group in prison at the hobby unit this morning, and that's nothing new. Almost every Sunday we got some women in prison, some men in prison, that we've got 124 in prison that have been approved to come here. And you need to pray for them, because they're going to be our brothers and sisters right here, and they might get discouraged along the way, so they need prayer. At times we seem to face the impossible, but like we said, there is hope, because we serve an amazing God, and like the old song says, He specializes in things thought impossible. And you find on your church news there that there's the challenge to prayer, and it says greater things. Let's believe for greater things, because God is interested in the redemption of people's lives. He, you know, the scripture there in Psalms 103 says, you know, who blesses us with all of our forgiveness of our transgressions and heals us and satisfies our mouth with good things. And it says who gives us that ability to be restored, who gives us that ability to be changed. He redeems our life from destruction. Can you say amen? How many have had that happen to them? Your life has been redeemed from destruction. It's out there. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, as we look at maybe putting some stakes in the ground for this season of our lives, this season of our church body here, we need to realize that it's going to take prayer. We have intercession on Wednesday nights here. We come together as a body to pray for specific needs. And I know we weren't the only one praying, but I know that we were part of the praying that took place that set Hannah Sines Overton free. And it was prayer that brought that about. And she would say the same thing, and all of her church family in Corpus Christi would say the same thing, that it was people holding on to God in prayer and reaching out in prayer. Prayer is necessary. Fasting is necessary. Nothing is impossible with prayer and fasting. Nada es imposible con la oración y el ayuno. That we can believe that it's a call to prayer. It's a call to pray. It's a call to put into our time management a time set aside for prayer. a place set aside for prayer, a dwelling place that you will go to and that you will reach out and you will say, Lord, this is my time with you. It'd be nice if it was 8 hours, but some people have to go to work. But we can get up earlier and spend some time with the Lord, and it's necessary. Matthew 17, verse 14, is the account of the disciples running out of all of their energy and not knowing what to do. It says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Oh, that we would be able to say, bring them in. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said to them, it's because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Aren't you glad that's the kind of God that we serve? However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So there's got to be some discipline in our lives to produce what needs to take place, the strongholds that need to come down in this world, and this comes out by prayer and fasting. So we are going to challenge our congregation to make a new step in prayer this year, a new step in fasting this year. Psalms 5, verse 3 kind of tells us when's a good time to do this. It says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. And so it's talking about in the morning, the first thing in the morning. Can you do Jesus before coffee or not? I don't know if you can or not. But first thing in the morning, that is your time to spend with the Lord. I heard about a guy that had some foul language, and he would always get up and say, good God, it's morning. And he got saved, and his vocabulary changed. You know, it'll change. You get a new language when you get saved. And he said, it's not good God, it's morning. It's good morning, God. Good morning, God. I'm here to spend time with you. I'm here to spend time with you in the morning. I heard about one minister that he had a lady in the church that was very spiritual, and she was getting these words, and she had a walk with the Lord, and the pastor said, would you just pray and ask the Lord if he has a word for me? And she came back, and he said, did you pray? Yes. What did he say? He said, I've missed you. I missed you. I've been missing you. Has God been missing the time that we should set aside to be with him? Would he say that about you this morning? I miss you. He says, I will direct it to you and I will look up. Then Psalms 141, verses 1 and 2, says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So it's a good plan, a good goal to say, at least, Lord, morning and evening, I'm going to set aside a time to say good morning, Lord, and to say good night, Lord. My father always prayed this prayer, Lord, keep me in the hollow hand of the center of your will, and put your arms around me and protect me. I look for your protection. And as we go to sleep, God doesn't. He is there to watch over us. He is there to even visit us in our dreams, good dreams. Charlotte has good dreams. She goes to Romania every night. Maybe we'll do that for real someday, too. We were there 23 years, so Bună dimineața, Romania. Okay. So morning and evening, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us something else about prayer. Verse 16 says, rejoice always. You know what rejoice means? It means to bring that back up that you can joy over again. Bring it back up. You can joy over again. I've had a discipline to make a journal every year since 1971. I don't know why I didn't do it before that, but a lot of good things have happened since then, and some difficult things have happened since then. But I have found that if I will just get an old journal and start going through it, I can get joy, because I can rejoice, because I can see how that at the beginning of that period, things looked like impossible, like we said this morning, but by the time the end of that chapter was, well, I could see that there was a breakthrough and that God had a solution and that He was there for me and He will always be there for you. So we rejoice always. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You say, well, I've got to eat sometime. Do I put something else in my mouth? How do I do that? Well, one of the brothers said this. He said that some of the understanding of that scripture is that that kind of prayer is like a hacking cough. You don't know when it's coming on, but it's going to be there, and that all of a sudden you see a need to pray. Many times, as we went to the castle downtown, the brothers in the van with me, they reached out their hand and they prayed over this property. And I thought, we'd never get that. It's cost too much, you know, whatever. But that was a prayer without ceasing. It just continued. And as we are there, as we're at a red light, we can pray. And as it comes forth, we just continue. In everything, give thanks. And that's prayer. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What do we pray for? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Familiar scripture, if my people, and that's us, who are called by my name, that's us, will humble themselves, and it takes humility to pray, because prayer says I can't do it myself, I need help. It takes humility to pray, humble myself, and pray and seek my face. So prayer is a continual seeking more of the Lord, more power, more love, more of you, Lord, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. He was talking about 68, is that right, David? You realize what's happened in our nation since 68. You realize that this nation was in the mind of God. That people came here to escape religious persecution. They came here out of hope. They came here out of desiring. And they came into this continent, this land, this nation, and they began to have to cut down trees and pave a way for them to get from the east all the way to the west. And it was here, and there was churches immediately. Pastors came with them, people that came. And this nation was founded on In God We Trust. In God We Trust. And yet, it has come so far away from that. And here we are now in 2016, knowing not what the future holds, but we need to pray for America. I believe there's still hope for America. I believe that God still has His people here, and we are to be a light in a dark world. No matter what persecution comes or what happens or what disasters take place, that we're to believe that God is here with us and we're here for a purpose. But I believe we can change some things through prayer. When you hear bad news, and it's every day, it's almost hopeless to look at that and say, oh no, another killing, another problem, another thing happening, another slander, another corruption. But when you hear that bad news, instead of your reacting and say, oh my goodness, there's no hope, use that as an opportunity to pray for America, to pray for those in authority, to pray that God would put people like that lieutenant in a right place and that there would be that opportunity for the Christians to still have a hold on the values that we have. We do not need to lose our values, our biblical values. God hasn't changed his mind about what's right and what's wrong and what's moral and what's immoral. And we need to do that. Psalms 4:1 says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." And so there will be times of distress, but we call upon the Lord, and we call upon him, and he is there to meet us. You think that prayer changes things? You think that it's effective? Let's look at some of the prayer warriors in the Scripture, where that they prayed and God answered. Some immediately, some it took a while, but they prayed. One was Hezekiah, and the prophet Isaiah comes to him in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Oh my goodness, that's not good news. We're supposed to preach the good news. He goes up to him and says, "Hey God, you're a dead man." Verse 2, then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. I've done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And your prayer at some point in time needs to include weeping. It needs to be that your heart is broken over what you're praying about, and you're weeping. He wept bitterly. Verse 4, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Return," verse 5, "and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, surely I will heal you, and on the third day you shall go to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the land of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Now that's a pretty instant answer, isn't it? Said before he even got to the car. Before he even got to the car, God was speaking and said, "Okay, I heard your prayer. I can do something about that." There was times that God said something and Moses interceded for him. And he was able to change directions all because of prayer. Charlotte, I need that bottle of water. Guess I'm getting carried away up here. Thank you, Lord, for water. Another one was, prayer warrior was Esther. Men and women are to pray. This is quite a story. There's a movie out called One Night with the King. And Esther was chosen because the king's wife betrayed him, left him. And so he set out to find the perfect queen. And it just happened to be a young Jewish virgin that was brought in. And among all the others, she was chosen by the king. And this wicked Haman was jealous of the situation. He wanted to take the king's place. And he set out to do what he could to destroy. Her uncle was Mordecai. She was an orphan girl that had been brought in to the home of her uncle. And she was there. And Haman set out to destroy her uncle Mordecai and all of the Jewish people. He got together, Esther 4, 1 through 3. Mordecai learned all that had happened. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city. This Haman guy had got this protest, this document signed and sealed by the king that they would destroy all the Jewish people. It's still trying to happen. And we need to pray for Israel and for all of the Jewish people around the country and all other minority groups and everybody else. But they were trying to destroy them and put them to annihilate the Jews. And he put on sackcloth and ashes. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews. They were getting an execution notice. There was fasting, there was weeping, there was wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And as the narrative goes on, well then, who could save this? The king had already made that document. It would take the queen, and if she approached him without being invited, well, there would be someone there to execute her on the spot. Mordecai comes to Esther. By this time, she's queen. Do not think in your heart that you will escape, 4:13, in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, because they're God's chosen people. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Can we let that be a voice to us today? Who knows that 2016, whatever happens, that we as followers of Jesus have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We are responsible for this generation. We are responsible for this era, this time that we live in. We're responsible to be light in this place throughout this time. Who knows that we've come here for such a time as this? So Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. Said, okay, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Do we have that kind of faith today, folks? To say, I'm going to do what's right regardless. And my commitment is there. My mind is made up. There's a course that says, I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever he leads me. I'll pasture wherever he feeds me. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. There is no time to be on the fence. There's no time for compromise. There's no time for taking detours away from God. We need to say, I will serve the Lord, whatever. Another prayer warrior is Daniel. And we see how that Daniel was placed there and given favor with the king. And yet, there was this time that it's in Daniel 6, verse 6 through 10. I won't read it all. But there he was at a point of, is he going to compromise or not? Anyone that prays to anyone else, any other god besides to the king, they will go to the lion's den. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, his chamber, his dwelling place, with the windows open toward Jerusalem. He did not hide what he was doing. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. We have to have in our life a custom, a discipline of what we're going to do. He went to the lion's den, and there he had a pillow at night of a lion laying on that soft skin, because God protected him from those lions. Now, I like to say this, you know, about working with people and getting along with people. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, but he didn't get down there and pull on his tail. So we have to have wisdom in how it says our words need to be seasoned with salt, so that we can have wisdom in how we say things. So there he was. He was there, and we recognize that he was reaching out, and God protected him. Again, Daniel, chapter 9, verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, Lord, O God, how great and awesome you are, who keeps his commandments and mercy to those who love him. And with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even departing from your precepts. And so we find that he was in sackcloth and ashes, and that was a sign of humility, and it was something that people would do at that time to show that they were serious about getting God to intervene. And this humility was an action that demonstrated that. Daniel 10. In those days, verse 2, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This is called the Daniel fast. It says that he ate no meats, no pleasant food, no meat. He was disciplined himself to seek the Lord. Verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Verse 12, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. Listen, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. I have come because of your prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And so we have to learn to wait sometimes on the Lord as he is doing his work. He says, I heard you. He does hear us. But there's things that have to take place. God has to do some rearranging sometime to answer and to do what his will is for our lives. So we need to learn to wait. Prayer, fasting. We'd rather have feasting. And we've probably had that. So it's a good time to discipline your body to withdraw from some food, whether it's one meal, several days, whatever the Lord puts in your heart, in your life, whatever kind of fast that he gives to you. Sometimes we need to fast other things besides food. Isaiah 58, 1 through 3. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people with transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, they did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all of your labors. 58:4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, to strike with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? So you can fast for the wrong reasons. I recall a time that, I think it was back when I was director of Teen Challenge here, and there was some of our zealous men said, we're going to fast. And so they would come down for dinner, and they'd stand at the end of the line like this. See how holy I am? Forget the fast. Their sin was worse than not fasting at all. A chosen fast. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free? And so fasting can break that yoke, and that every yoke will be broken. I ask you this morning, what is a yoke in your life that needs to be broken? What is a chain that is around you that needs to be broken? Maybe there's nobody here that has anything like that. But during this season, let's come to the Lord. Let's come to his altar. Let's say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want every yoke broken in my life. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? We will continue to help people in need. We will continue to be a light in a dark place, to be an oasis in the desert. We'll continue to be a place where that people can find a new way to live. We'll continue to do that. Then your light will bring forth like the morning. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, and you shall call. The Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Why do you fast? Is it to get things out of God? It really won't work if you're trying to just get things out of God, but to get things out of you. Not to get things out of God, but to get things out of me, to get things out of us. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Matthew 6:16. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So you say, are you asking me to do self-denial? Not really. I'm asking you to do denial of self. It's time to pray. It's time to fast. It's time to be near the Lord and to come near to him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. 32:27, Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for me? With prayer and fasting and repentance and holiness, we can see God move in our lives in a mighty way. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back and sing that song again that you sang this morning about the I Am. I want you to stand with me as they come. Prepare your hearts this morning. I'm going to sing this song with you.
Wanna be close to your side.
More Lord.
So heaven is Lord. Real.
Revival, again. Revival, Lord, we cry.
Singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. God Almighty.
sing that again this morning, I want to ask you to use an altar, whether it's at your seat or up here. Will you make a decision to be a prayer warrior this year? You make a decision to go forward in walking with the Lord this year. The altar is open as they sing it again. Unless, if you need to slip out, it's fine, but I think it's time to seek the Lord.
At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell, or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Great I am. Great I am.
Between you and the Lord, a commitment. Say, Lord, I'm going to crawl closer to you this year. I'm going to. Here I am. Blessed be God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. I pray, oh God. I pray, oh God. I pray, oh God. I pray, oh God. I say, yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God wants that personal relationship with each one of us. He calls and we come. He calls. Let it be a year of the altar in your life. Yes, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, my Lord. Oh, Lord, we call upon your name, Lord. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in. fellowship, sup, be with you. His name is Emmanuel. God with us. Dios con nosotros. Bless the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Says there's joy in heaven over every sinner that repents. I believe there's joy in heaven today as people call out to God, as they make new commitments to follow Him in a new way. Grace is the desire to do the will of God. And He's given you that desire this morning. It's also the power to do His will, to walk in His ways. Brother Robert.
Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to share just a brief, very brief testimony about something that Joe was sharing about on today, and that is on fasting and prayer. And I want to ask how many have done any extended or whatever, or even short-term fasting and prayer. But I want to tell you that, and it's been a handful of times, that the most powerful experiences that I've ever had before in my life have always been at the times during fasting and prayer. Where just God came in and there was no denying the presence of the Lord and spoke some things to me at the time, and it was like, and I didn't see the fruit of it sometimes until even years after the fact. But I just want to encourage you. I know there's a, oh well, that's you're now you're talking about legalism. No, I'm not. I'm talking about a principle. God is a God of principles. God works by principles. Guess what? His principles don't change.
Right.
I mean, they don't. They still work. He operates by principles. His spirit operates by principles. The scripture talks about that in other words, there's a power with fasting and prayer that doesn't come any other way. Sorry. You know, if you're a studier of the Word of God, that's awesome. But you can read from now till the day you're gone, and there's still not that power that will come by fasting and prayer. All right? So I'm just saying to you, I know for me this year, I want a breakthrough in my life and some things in my life. I want to break some things in my life. And I bet you there's some people here today who also want some breakthrough in their life this year. And I would say to you that you are probably not going to see it except by fasting and prayer. I have no guarantee of that, but I know that God promises breakthrough by fasting and prayer. So I challenge you, as we start this year, as we even start this week off this year, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, do it as unto the Lord. Trusting, Lord, I'm going to do this because I want breakthrough in my life, that my life might bring you more glory and honor. Amen.
Can we say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Stretch your hand this way. Be blessed by the Lord this morning. Let's go out with a blessing. Let's go out with a praise. Let's go out with adoration to the Lord. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová hace sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. I challenge you to go from this place and be hope and help to someone today. Go to the restaurant. Go to the Walmart. Let people know that there is hope. Let them know they can have a new beginning and a new year. And that means coming to the Lord, walking with Him. Find out.